Well, I mean, I think that the message is that it's a loss, and they all hurt. My hope is that this team sticks together, that I can lead them in a direction that will allow us to improve, be critical of ourselves, take care of our teammates, get healthy, look at Houston, and try to go and prepare to win a game. So, you know, whether it's success or failure, like we got to, as soon as we make the corrections on this thing and look at it, you know, we got to move on.
Man, I'll tell you what.
The man is out to get you.
Don't let him do it.
The man is always out to get you.
Don't let him do it to you, Landry Locke. Don't let him do it to you.
By the way, while we were off the air, mm-hmm. Fred Davis and I were talking about Ray Donovan, the show on Showtime, that we both watch it, and we both agreed that the last scene last night was not just one of the best in the history of Ray Donovan, mm-hmm. but one of the best, I thought, and I think Fred will agree, was one of the best that we've seen ever. And it didn't involve violence, didn't involve sex.
No.
It involved a really ugly woman. There was no dialogue. And whoever wrote it just deserves so much credit that one scene like that could be so impressive.
That I know who you're talking about. He just showed me the picture. I said, I think I know who that is. She's Mac's mom on Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, and I was going to say, yeah. when I saw that, I was like, okay, I know that's your show. That's one of your – and like I said, I want to say she was the grandma in Napoleon Dynamite, if I'm not mistaken. Well,
she
has
a great role on Ray Donovan this year that I hope
Sandy Martin does
not end.
No, she's been fantastic in the last two episodes, playing kind of a perverted old woman. And
she's like Mac's mom. She has a big role on Always Sunny.
Okay. Yeah, no, she's been pretty good. And
She was married to Mickey's husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mickey's brother who's dead.
Back in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So there you go. All right, it's time to do a little bit of leg hiking.
Well, I got some leg hiking stuff for you, John. Go ahead.
I don't think, even with the way this team, and I don't care with the cold weather coming up, I don't care. I think with this offense and the way defenses are, and yes, the Texans defense as a whole, I think is better collectively than the Chiefs defense. But I just think if it comes down to a track meet, I don't care what weather it is, I just don't see a way that the Texans can go toe-to-toe, tit-for-tat with the Chiefs as things are currently constructed.
Well, that's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. So no hiking. No
hiking.
Of course not.
Listen, I got a lot of people texting in saying, well, you know, you saw what the Chiefs did against the Cardinals, and you saw how they slowed down against the Broncos.
Chiefs had no interest in that Cardinals game. They were just trying to get by on a 16.5
point
spread.
Do you see
spread.
A situation in cold weather, let's say a divisional round game, all right?
When it does get cold in KC,
all right,
man.
We know that where if the Texans go, if we're to go to Kansas City for a divisional round game where the defense could slow things down enough to give them a puncher's chance.
Well, the defense is always capable, and I'm writing about the defense for Thursday about how it is going to have to take over because of the close games they're going to play out of necessity, and the defense is going to have to take over. And you think about Watt and Clowney, Merciless had another big sack, Reed interception, Tyrann Mathieu's playing really well. Their defense is playing well, and yet they gave up three touchdowns for the first time since they played against Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. But one of them was after, what, a 13-yard drive after an interception. And so I think this defense – It's one of four that is in single digits in yards against the run and against the pass, and they keep getting better yardage wise, and they've been good point wise. Only only Baltimore and maybe Pittsburgh have given up fewer points in the AFC, and I think they're fifth overall in points allowed. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to continue to get better. So would they have a chance? It would all be about getting to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But I still think there's no way. I think they're going to win the division. They're going to win a wild card game. They're going to go on the road. If they go on the road to like Kansas City, they're going to lose. But with their schedule, and if they don't have any more serious injuries, they're going to get back Zach Cunningham and Aaron Colvin. And they've got a chance to compete for a first-round bye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They really needed Jacksonville to win that Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh won ugly. Three turnovers, Roethlisberger awful in the first half, and then Jacksonville just spit the bit in the fourth quarter with minus 4 yards, and Bortles was awful.
What were they up in that game? 16?
16-0.
Yeah. 16-0, and they were up with 2:03 left, and they went three and out, and Pittsburgh came back and won on a long pass on a Roethlisberger sneak. And it's amazing to me. Roethlisberger said the Jaguars were mouthing off before the game, mm-hmm. during the game. When you've lost that many in a row,
what are you doing?
Why wouldn't you put a lid on it?
Yeah, what are you doing?
That's just kind of players they have. O'Brien was talking yesterday, and I wrote about this today, about what allows you to win close games. Other teams make mistakes, yeah, but you have to make plays. Mm-hmm. And they're careful about the kind of players they bring in. He's talking about high characters, team guys. They pull for each other. Now, he didn't say this, but you don't see them mouthing off publicly. We ask them negative questions. They won't respond. I asked them questions I used to ask the Oilers, and the Oilers would create all kinds of mm-hmm. controversy. You know, you covered them, and the Texans won't do it
right.
because of the kind of players they bring in and then the way O'Brien runs the operation. You would never see them doing like the Jaguars publicly and talking like they to Roethlisberger like that before and during the game, and that's one reason they're in the situation they're in right now.
I can see Clowney running his mouth though.
I've never heard anybody complain about Clowney
not
doing
in a bad
it.
Way, but I could definitely. I mean,
but
you
the
know
Jaguars are trash talking yeah. in a derogatory. I don't know personal. It got to Roethlisberger's
nicely,
Roethlisberger because he. Said it afterward. Yeah. You know, it they must have made it personal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe
right.
talked about his mama or something yeah. like that. There's certain rules. You know, DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins.
Fix
you
my
know,
TV.
He
ben.
Has guys trash talking him all the time, and then he goes out and makes them pay for it. But this team has got good guys or high character guys. And also knows today they are tied for fourth in fewest drop percentage. So they're not beating themselves yeah. with drop passes.
Right.
QT had
or
one.
Or penalties.
So yeah, QT had one Sunday, and it was almost like, oh, gosh, receiver dropped a pass. Yeah.
Right. That's true, though. That is a good point.
All right, here's my leg hiking.
Is that a hoodie, by the way?
Huh?
Is that a hoodie?
Yeah, and okay. if it had a zipper, it'd still be a hoodie.
Hey, right quick, is A&M hosting LSU or
hosting
going?
LSU. I'll be tailgating if you want to come by.
Is that on Saturday?
Saturday night, 6:30 kickoff.
I'll be watching
brisket,
on my little TV.
Brisket,
little
ribs, TV. And gumbo.
My little black and white. You should see the TV we have in the bedroom. It's so big, it's still got a back on it.
Oh, no, it's those heavy ones?
Oh, yeah, and I told and it's on
with
top
a tube?
Of a, it's on top of, yeah, on top of a chest, and
oh
I said,
God.
Look, I'll come in here and watch and get a bigger TV. Don't you touch that TV. I said, I can't see it. It's so small. I have to stand in front of it to watch it.
Now, we're is that on your room side. Or is that in Carol's room?
Oh, that's in Carol's room.
Somebody texted us, I got a feeling the McLeans are hoarders.
I'm not.
You're not.
I'm not.
That's not a denial.
That's where you're going to leave that. All right, here's my leg hiking. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when you're sitting in front of a 50-inch square TV,
oh, it'll be a lot bigger.
It's an 80-inch. We're going to look back at last night as one of the hallmark moments when the NFL changed.
I do, and it'll come over time, and then eventually yeah. it'll change again because it always does. Somebody will come up with a defense and a mm-hmm. great running game that controls the ball and keeps that offense on the. On the bench, and then all of a sudden there'll be the trend in that direction. It's amazing if you go back. You know, when the AFL was created in 1960, the NFL was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, 10-7, mm-hmm. 14-13. The AFL got a TV contract with NBC. So what can we do to attract viewers? Mm-hmm. What can we do to attract young viewers? And mm-hmm. I was 8 years old in Waco, and I used to watch – the Oilers and the AFL, because the Cowboys were terrible,
yeah.
even though I loved the Cowboys then, but they were so much more exciting to watch George Blanda,
right.
Lance Allworth, and all the great quarterbacks and receivers in the AFL, and that's what's happening now. Ratings are up, but at some point it will go back.
And it's also a changing of the guard,
defensive oriented
of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, that this is going to be this era's moment.
Well, it's because the way yeah. they play in high yeah. school, the way yeah. they play 7-on-7, the way they're playing in college. We're talking to O'Brien Mundy about offensive linemen inherently like to run block.
Yeah.
But I asked him, is that still true today, considering most of them never get out in a three-point stance in college unless they come from a pro-style offense like, say, Stanford or mm-hmm. Wisconsin or what? I don't know what Florida State's doing now.
Not much.
But, and he thought that was interesting. And yeah. I still think they would rather charge off the ball and hit somebody than have to back up, use their rely on their footwork and their hands and wondering who's coming in what direction.
Mm-hmm. All right, John McClain hasn't hiked up his leg on anything yet, so we need to put that an end to that in the next
segment.
I think
he'll do one of mine.
I feel guilty.
No, I think he'll do one of mine.
I'm doing my job.
All right, no, I'll throw a couple softballs at you in this next one for sure. So, all right, so we got to do the hits and a couple more things out there for John McClain to leg hike on as it pertains to the Houston Texans. And who knows, maybe we'll get a TV and or movie thing in there. You know what? McClain Thanksgiving leg hike as well, because listen, we know one thing about John McClain. He ain't afraid of putting a little fork to his mouth. So we'll get his thoughts.
That's
on some
truth.
We'll definitely get some thoughts on that. So lots to get to. Glad to have you on board. It's In the Loop. It's John Lopez and John McClain on a Tuesday.